It's time to take off your clothes, enjoy clothes-free living, and join us for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist.
Welcome to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, the show that celebrates clothes-free living for all. I'm your host, Frank Stone.
And I'm your correspondent, Lisa Monroe, and I'll be reporting on all things within the naturist community. So it's time to get naked and join us.
And enjoy clothes-free living on Naked, Nudists, and Naturists. Well, welcome on in to Naked, Nudists, and Naturists, episode 43 today, where we celebrate clothes-free living for all of the right reasons, whatever you call it, naturism, nudism, flat out being naked, flat out being clothes-free. You've come to the right place to enjoy clothes-free living. So come on in. The water is fine. The hot tub is fired up. The grill is going full blast. We even have a little campfire out back if you want to roast some marshmallows, even roast a hot dog instead of one that we have on the grill. We have fresh vegetables, cold drinks off to the left, hot tea, hot coffee inside, plenty of towels, plenty of suntan lotion. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the next hour as you take in the breeze, the sunshine, and enjoy this time together. We look forward to this time together. I say that on just about every show. All week long, yes, 6 o'clock a.m. is coming. We'll be with our people. Our people will be with us. And we do drop a brand new show every Saturday morning, 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time on Spotify. From there, it goes to every podcast platform under the sun. Sometimes instantly, sometimes it takes a few minutes or a few hours. We are not in control of that, but we are in control of the 6 a.m. Eastern Time drop on Spotify every Saturday morning. And don't forget, we give you a brand new preview every Wednesday morning, 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, but that one is on YouTube, and we do post those on Twitter, but we'll have to check it out the Wednesday before a show. You get an 8, 9, 10, 11, 15, 17-minute preview. Each week is a little bit different of what's going to be coming up on Saturday, so check that out as well. And I should tell you in advance, 5 is the highest rating that you can give us. Just putting it out there in case you didn't know. When you go to Apple Podcasts, when you go to YouTube, you can merely click on 5 and be done with it. You'll be done in 2 or 3 seconds. If you'd like to leave a few comments for other people to read, we'd appreciate that as well. But please take a moment. You can even do it right now as you're listening to the show, Apple Podcasts especially, Spotify, yes, and YouTube. Like, review, subscribe. That will help us out tremendously in the world of podcasting. So we appreciate that very much. Well, on today's show, we will have another report from Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom. Andy Rogers, a terrific woman. She is the leader of WINNER, which is Women in Nude Recreation. She was appointed by Mitch London to serve in that capacity for the American Association of Nude Recreation, better known sometimes as AANR. But they recently visited the Mira Vista Resort in Arizona. So we will get the update and the full report from Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom, in just a little bit. Of course, Lisa Monroe, the one, the only, the terrifically clothes-free and always smiling, and often brings in baked goods, by the way, our weekly correspondent on naturism. And Lisa and I will be discussing an email that we recently received about an issue that goes on in a lot of relationships. This one has a bit of a twist, though. Both people were fully into social naturism. At some point, the wife said, "That's it. I'm done. My clothes are staying on forever now. And by the way, honey, your clothes are going back on too." So we will talk about that when Lisa Monroe comes in. And we will have part two of my interview with the very terrific Mitch London, the current president of AANR, the American Association for Nude Recreation. And if you know Mitch or if you heard him on last week's show, you already know that he's a very intelligent, well-spoken guy, and we're glad to have him again today for part two, and later in the summer, we'll have him back yet again, but this time to discuss his video show, This Dude Cooks in the Nude, that's taken the world by storm. Lots of views, lots of episodes as he makes dishes, dinners, lunches, etc., from recipes all around the world. So part two of my interview with Mitch London on today's show. Well, again, you are listening to Naked Nudists and Naturists, episode 43. Really thank you for being with us. We look forward to this time together, and we know that you do too. And now let's get to the latest report from Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom.
Hi, this is Andy.
And this is Tom with the Winter on Wheels I'm Perfect Tour.
Mira Vista is an absolutely gorgeous resort. Several things that stood out to us as we were driving in is that the buildings are all kind of in the Southwest style, giving the entire resort a formulaic feel, which was very appealing. And then there is the cactus. Oh my goodness, I am falling in love with these incredible plants. The towering saguaro are my absolute favorite. And fun fact, I just found out that they don't actually grow arms until they're at least 50 years old. I met with some incredible ladies, including Suzanne, owner of Mira Vista. Two of the ladies just arrived at the resort and came to my workshop, and this was their first visit ever. So I felt very privileged indeed that they started their visit with me. Another was on her second visit to the club, and as a brand new nudist, I welcomed the women to ask questions during my presentation, which kind of gives it a much more conversational feel, and I love that. My main points were to make sure to emphasize what being a nudist can do for your mental well-being, and there are three things that stand out in that way. So, community. Never have I felt as welcome and accepted than by the people in the nudist community. And secondly, connection. It was when I connected with other women on a personal level that I began to accept myself. And it was because of their words of empowerment to me, the things that they saw in me that I didn't see in myself. Things like worthy, confident, beautiful, and so many more. That changed the voice in my head from negative to positive and just had a profound effect on my life. The third is camaraderie. As relationships deepen over the years by spending time together doing everyday things, you know, cooking together or just going for walks together, visiting on the deck or around a pool, and then welcoming newcomers as they pass by to this freeing way of life. Several of the ladies said that they'd love to be part of this year's WOW campaign, which of course means they will be in next year's calendar. One woman in particular wanted to be sure and get her picture in before leaving. So we walked around the club and found just the perfect setting. And the word she chose was yes. At this point in her life, where she wants to say yes to new adventures, it was an absolute privilege to be able to be a part of those first steps on her journey with her.
So we were set up in the overflow spot, which is in the main parking lot, and it seems to be the walking path for many of the members and guests around the club. Think of it like a NASCAR track going round and around.
You would say NASCAR. Whole club.
So we had our big Anner banner set up in front of the motorhome so people could see it as they were walking by. Many stopped and asked about it, and we chatted just for a bit, and then they continued their laps around and around.
Around the NASCAR track. We also really enjoyed lounging around the pool and just listening to the lively games of water volleyball. It was a great way to unwind and enjoy the Arizona weather and this beautiful club. In the evening, we enjoyed a few cocktails in the lounge. And the bartender served Mai Tais, which were based on the Thai-themed dance that was going to be held later that night, and they were delicious. And then over to the restaurant for just a simply fabulous dinner. And as you're sitting in there, there's just incredible views of the mountain and the sunset while you're dining. It's just a wow. So though they're a clothing optional resort, we noticed that nearly everyone here was so happy just to be nude. And the grounds are immaculately maintained and so filled with a variety of gorgeous cactus plants. Most are very old due to their size, making a walk around the club really magical. Mira Vista is absolutely a destination resort for the nudist. the people are so welcoming, the views beyond incredible, and the sunsets more vibrant than any I've ever seen before.
So it was a great time, and we'll see you down the road.
And there you go, the latest report from Andy Rogers, the chair of WINR, that's W-I-N-R, Women in Nude Recreation, for the American Association for Nude Recreation. So W-I-N-R for A-A-N-R. How about that? Andy Rogers and her husband Tom will have them again on next week's show for their latest report. Well, you are listening to Naked Nudists and Naturists, episode 43 today. Hope you're having a great closed tree day as you listen to the show. And as you can tell by the music that is sneaking in on us ever so slightly, it is time for the one, the only, the terrific, the fully closed free, fully smiling, our weekly correspondent on naturism and all things naked, the terrific Lisa Monroe. And here she is, the one and only, the terrifically clothes-free and equally as much smiling, our weekly correspondent on naturism, nudism, all things naked, Lisa Monroe. Hello, Lisa. How are you today?
Good morning, Frank. I'm doing very, very well. How about yourself?
Doing well. Good to see you. Now, on last week's show, we had a short segment, and you said that's why you didn't bring any goodies in. We have a longer segment today. I haven't seen any goodies. Are they out in the car? Did you leave them out in the lobby, or what's going on?
I left them in the lobby. Okay. Just to make sure that you were telling me the truth. No. I brought a lemon pound cake. How about that?
Wow. Enough for everybody, or is it just for me today?
Well, let's hope there's some left when we get back out in the lobby. But there should be.
That's true, too. Well, we got an email from a gentleman who does not want us to use his name. And it's kind of an age-old issue. We've seen this many times in the emails and direct messages we get. We'll just go ahead and read it, and then we'll talk about it. It says, hey, Frank and Lisa, love your podcast. Interesting discussion on naturism / non-naturism in the latest episode. I'm in just that situation. So the discussion struck a chord with me. I thought I'd share my story with you. My wife and I have been together for 33 years. We're both 55 now, and at the start of our relationship, it was she who took me to my first nude beach. It's there that I discovered the freedom of nudity and, above all, social nudity. We have since been to several different nude beaches here in France where we live. We were never really nudists as such, in that we didn't live nude every day, but being nude around each other or on a beach was never a problem. And why don't you take it from there?
However, over the last 10 years, an imbalance in our nudity has taken hold, with me desiring to be nude as much as possible, and my wife choosing to cover up as much as possible. This imbalance obviously creates difficulties in our relationship. It's at a point now where my being nude at home is an issue for us both. My wife is no longer okay with this, so begrudgingly, but out of respect for her wishes, I stay covered up and am only nude when she is not around. She knows how important being nude is to me. She has a problem now with my and other people's nakedness. Even in films or TV shows, she will change the channel or look away if there's nudity. She has her own body issues and is not comfortable with herself. I can understand and respect that, but despite my explanations and information on body positivity within naturism, she won't budge on the subject.
Okay, I'll continue on from there. It's very frustrating in that we've never had a problem in the past with nudity, so it's not like one of us has suddenly dropped a nudist bombshell. I can only see that it's all down to an increased intolerance on her part driven by her own body issues. Being respectful to her wishes is getting difficult as well when she won't meet me halfway. Her only concession is that she is okay for me to go to a naturist campsite by myself. She suggested it, in fact, without me even bringing up the subject. And why don't you take it from there?
So once a year, I go off for a week on my own to be nude 24/7, which is great and freeing. It is also a saddening situation for me, though, as I know she would love the atmosphere, and I would love sharing the experience with her. I don't know how or when the situation could or will change, but I live in the hope that one day we might get our balance back again. Sadly, though, I don't think it will be anytime soon.
And then he ends with, keep up the great work on your podcast. Thanks for making them. All the best to you. And he signed his name, but he asked us to not use it. Okay, so let me start this off. I'm going to give you two things, Lisa Monroe.
Yes, sir.
And we are not marriage counselors. We're not relationship counselors. We're not therapists. We are just two human beings who have lived life, and we have enjoyed every second of it, and that's how we're passing this along. Way back when I was in college, that's 272 and a half years ago, long time ago. Mm-hmm. As you know, my first couple of degrees were in music, and I was in part of different bands around town, some high-flying groups, I'll admit to it. And we played a private party at a home in a very wealthy area. And the whole party was outside, and I found out I didn't book the gig. I was part of the band that booked it, and it was a doctor's home. The doctor was a man. He had his wife there. And they had just come back from 2, 3, 4 weeks abroad somewhere. And it turns out, I didn't know any of this going in, but they visited every nude beach, every new club they could get their hands on. And during the gig, they were passing around photos of the two of them, mostly him, but of the two of them, nude, posing here, posing there, posing everywhere. And I didn't see, well, I guess I saw one picture near the end. I finally asked, but I saw a couple totally committed to each other. They were just engrossed with each other. They were probably 50 or 60, but they acted like they were 12 in terms of being in love, or 17, or whatever age you want to go with. To me, that's the best way. When you find that person who is committed to you, and you are committed to that person, and your first goal every day is to take care of the other person and please that person. Sounds like this couple had it going on for a long time. They were nude together. They went to nude resorts, nude beaches. Suddenly, she decided, you know what? Not only is it not for me anymore, which she's entitled to that decision, but I don't want you running around naked either. Before I say the next thing, what do you think of any of that?
Well, I think first off that what you said about relationships is absolutely spot on. I think that, you know, we are lucky if we find that one person that we feel comfortable with in any situation and that they're totally committed to. And, you know, people do change as things progress, but that core value and that core connection should never change. And I think that, you know, yeah, I like that ability for people to stay together and to share things that intimately as this doctor and his wife did.
Yeah. And see I'm a little caught in the middle on this one because I want everybody to do what they believe they need to do and what makes them happy. So if this particular woman says, you know, I just don't want to have my clothes off anymore. I don't think she should be forced to have her clothes off. Okay. You've decided you don't want to have your clothes off anymore. Keep them on 24 hours a day. That's okay. Nobody can argue. Where I have a problem, and this is just me, and it's their marriage, so I don't want to interfere, but does she have the right to say, you know what? You can't be naked either. That's where I have the problem. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, because people do change and body images can change. And so if she's just uncomfortable now, then in the house, there's no reason he shouldn't be nude in the house.
Yeah.
I mean, so I agree with you. There's give and take in all relationships. And even if you have the same values and the same core needs, there are going to be differences in things that you like and don't like to do. You might like pizza. She may not. You might like to be naked. She may not. There are differences in degrees here, but it's the same thing. You have to respect the other person. No one's alike. There are no 100% matches. Everybody's going to think differently about something and probably about everything.
That's true.
You know, you may agree that the sky is blue, but you may not agree on what color the blue is. You know what I'm saying? Just the subtle differences. So I think in this case, I feel kind of sorry for him because I think she is being very closed-minded about his needs and only looking at herself. And again, you know, that's just a personal opinion, no other opinion. But, you know, you can't just slam the door one day and say no more.
Yeah. Well, and you could take that to every issue in life, which you sort of alluded to. We both like spaghetti.
Yep.
You know, suddenly I don't want spaghetti anymore. And you know what? By golly, you're not going to have spaghetti ever again either.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you have the right to tell another person that. Now, again, this is their marriage. We're not interfering. Yeah. Whatever they do is what they do and they work it out. And great. I'm just going from my own experience. for example, I would not do that to anybody.
No, I wouldn't.
You know, I don't like to eat this, and therefore you can't eat it either. Well, who am I? Nobody made me the king of the world, and I'm guessing you're not the queen yet to make that decision.
Right? Well, maybe, no.
Maybe tomorrow, but not today.
I'm teasing to my loyal subjects. No, but I don't. I agree. I mean, no one has the right to say, you shouldn't wear that. You shouldn't do this. You know, you shouldn't do that. It's, you know, short of anything immoral or illegal, people have a right to choose to be and who they are and what they want to be.
Okay. Now, what about this? What about this? The woman says, I want my clothes on all the time. Mm-hmm. And honey, I want your clothes all on all the time, because now it offends me. It didn't used to offend me, but now I just don't like the looks of you with your clothes off, or it makes me uncomfortable or whatever. What do you think about that? That's a little bit of a different twist. His nudity has an effect on her. Therefore, he should be covered up in her mind. What do you think?
I think it's a selfishness on her part. I think that she is saying, I don't want it, and you're not having it either. It's a control issue. It's selfishness. It's, you know, if it brings you pleasure, but it doesn't me anymore, then you don't get to have that much fun, because I don't want to have that kind of fun. And that's just, you know, that's a, to me, even if a body consciousness has changed, to me, that is a real red flag for any other situation that's going on in that relationship. You just can't do that to someone that you're supposedly committed to.
Yeah. Now, she did make, you know, some effort, like, you know, honey, you can go off to a nude resort for a week, a year. Well, that's, I guess that's a bit of a consolation, but if you're committed to the other person, it's no fun being alone doing this, right? It's like, you know, you don't want to eat spaghetti alone. You want to eat together.
Exactly. And let's kind of step back here and be a little bit fairer to her. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was 20, you know, rip the clothes off, run around, it was fine. But as we age, women's bodies change more than men's do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you are, when every single day you see models that are airbrushed, you see models that are 100 pounds and they're 5'10", you know, and you are your, the beauty standards, you have to be this, you have to be that, then that it comes sometimes internalizes with women. And we don't feel like we can live up to that standard that has been, society has set for us. So something along the line may have triggered her and others who've been in this situation, because it's not the first time we've heard this.
Right.
And have allowed them to just suddenly become very self-conscious, very unhappy. And so her body's not pleasing her, so she's not letting anyone see it. And that's not a good thing either. But right. So I think that there's some, but it may be a normal reaction for her.
Yeah. Well, here would be my advice, since basically he kind of sort of asked us for advice, or at least asked us to put it up for discussion, is, you know, Mrs. So-and-so, if you want to have your clothes on all the time and that's your choice, do it. But don't deny him the right to have his clothes off. And if he wants to go to a resort for a week, I would say go with him. You want to keep your clothes on the entire time at a nudist resort, then keep them on all the time. What do you think of that? I mean, I'm into this whole togetherness. Let's keep together. Let's be committed to each other. Let's do everything together and make adjustments as we go. Not just, you know, chuck it. You stay home. I'm going. Well, that's not good either, is it?
That's an excellent idea, because he could go to a clothing optional place, and that way she could keep her clothes on, he could be nude, she could bury her head in a book and not see anything, or go or take her chair and go away from where people are naked to where people are clothed. I mean, there's some alternatives for them there that might be a way for at least them getting to be back together and share something that he truly enjoys. Because here's the thing, you know, if you ask someone to share what you enjoy, you need to share what they enjoy.
Yeah.
So if you know, if you wanted to go to a rock concert, then that should be your privilege.
Yep.
And so, and someone, you know, hey, yeah, I'll go. Not a problem.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think that that's a great alternative for them if they could get to that point where, or she was comfortable enough to be.
Yeah, and we're not in the position of telling people what to do. And I hope if she's listening to this, ma'am, we're not against you. We think you're great, just like we think your husband's great. He reached out to us. That would be our advice. Just work it out together. Working it out separately is, to me, not the way to go. And I know, Lisa, you agree.
I do.
And unfortunately, we have to cut it right there. We did have a longer segment than usual, thank goodness, for the first time in a long time. But Lisa Monroe, as long as you promise to remain close, free, and smiling all week, we'll let you go. Is that a promise?
That's a promise. That's right. Always a promise.
Our weekly correspondent on Naturism, fully close, free, fully smiling, Lisa Monroe. Go out there and have a great close, free week. We'll see you next time.
Yes, sir. You too, Frank. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. The very terrific Lisa Monroe, as I like to say, she brings a ray of sunshine every time she walks into the studio. A comment that got me in trouble with the other women who work here. They said, hey, you never say that about us. And I took care of that. And ladies, you bring sunshine every day. Lisa only brings it once a week. And that got me out of trouble, at least temporarily. Hopefully that will last another week or two. And then I'll have to do something else. But we thank Lisa Monroe for all of her time. She also does all the website work for us, so we thank her for that. You are listening to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 43 today. Hope you're enjoying a great close-free hour. We certainly are here in the studio. And now let's get to part two of my interview with the very terrific Mitch London, the current president of AANR, the American Association for Nude Recreation. Part two of my interview with Mitch London. You mentioned $64 a year. Is that per person, per family?
That is it per person. There are student rates because we know students are students, and you know they may not be making, you know, they may the American dream of I'm going to get out of college and make $1 million a year right away for some reason just goes poof, unless you know who knows. But most of the people like I got to go out and get a job until I get my job. Type of thing. So, so we have a student rate. We also have what's called a direct member, which is maybe you live in Arkansas where there's no nudist resorts, no nudist clubs, really, for other reasons that I'm not going to worry about right now. You know, you're, there's just not a resort near you. So you're like, well, I don't want to go pay for the membership at a resort and have to travel 4 hours to get to it. So you can join directly online. Which is a little bit cheaper because you're not going through the club, but you don't get all the there's a listing of what all the benefits are on online for the membership benefits, but you still get to be a member and you can still get all the benefits of you know if you had an issue with the with a neighbor or whatever you can you know get all that information and you still can get the newsletter. So there's benefits for you know. Joining through a club and there's benefits for just being a member. You know, we appreciate anybody that wants to be a member, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you have this number at the tip of your tongue, but because I know clubs come in and out, that's just normal in society. But do you know offhand how many clubs are affiliated with AANR? They can call themselves an AANR club.
Yeah, we have 7 different regions, Midwest, Northwest, East, West, Southwest, Florida, and parts and in Western Canada, of course. So we cover all of North America, pretty much. Each of those regions has their own president, and each of those are in charge of their club. So each region has a variety of clubs. There might be, and it depends, there might be 10 or 20, you know, I don't know the exact number of clubs offhand, but, you know, we've got, like I say, about 20 some odd thousand members, over 20,000 members. You know, so and they're spread all the way across Canada, U.S., Mexico, parts of Mexico, and actually even and we have another one that's called a business affiliate, which is let's say you're a resort somewhere that's not in the North American area. We have just recently one of our members went to Thailand, and there are nudist resorts there, and he talked with them and had them convinced to join AANR as a business affiliate so that they can kind of get, you know, information out and they can get listed and we can talk about the club and such and say, hey, if you're ever visiting Thailand, you know, consider this. They are an AANR affiliate. And they basically agree to, you know, abide by our, you know, guidelines that, you know, that our regular clubs have. But by doing that as a business affiliate, they pay a fee every year for doing that, and they get their own different types of benefits. But they get listed as an affiliate. But you could do that, you know, as a business here in the States as well. Like here in Texas, we have an organization that does plaques and awards type of thing, but they're called Bare Bottom Signs because it's by nudists, and they'll do it for nudists too. You know, we're actually working with them hopefully this summer for all the awards that we're going to be giving away at the convention. So so they could be a business affiliate.
Okay, well, it sounds to me, correct me if I'm wrong, but if a club is an AANR club and somebody's out there saying, you know, I'm going to check Club A or Club B or Club C, and they choose the one that's affiliated with AANR, they can go in there with some level of confidence that the club is going to follow various rules and guidelines set forth by AANR?
Yeah, they have agreed to follow guidelines that we have in our ruling documents, And also, a lot of times, if you go to a club that's AANR, they'll give you a discount for going there because you're an AANR member. You know, you might get 20% off, or they might, you know, sometimes clubs will offer something else. Like, hey, if you're an AANR member, you know, you get by 3 days, you get an extra day free. Of course, if you get your AANR membership card on the sheet above it, are usually some coupons for resorts that you will only get if you're an AANR member. And you know, our clubs, there's one, I know there's a couple in Florida, Cypress Cove does it, Suwannee Valley has been putting coupons in there for a long time. And you go there and say, I'm a member, I got a coupon that I got as part of my membership, and you know, you can get whatever that coupon's good for. It might be everything from a simple meal. It might be, you know, like I say, an extra day. If you stay 2 or 3 days, you might get an extra day, which that could be, you know, $100 or $200 savings right there. And that paid for your membership right there. One visit, you know, you pay $64 a year. You go to one club, you use a coupon, you saved $100. You're ahead. You're winning right there. You know, people say, what's in it for me? Here's $100 right now. You know,
yeah, that's perfect. That's a great way to go. We talked a little earlier about the Bill of Rights for AANR. And I did find that page as we were talking here. And there are 10 of them, of course, as I believe you mentioned. Yeah. And the two that I wanted to focus on, number 5, nudists have the right to assemble in the nude within appropriate settings. That's basically your theme, your mantra, right, since we started the interview. Yeah, you can be nude all the time, but, you know, you got to be careful and not, as you said, go down the street or show up at a schoolyard that way.
Right.
And the other one's number 10, nudists have the right to be treated as law-abiding citizens, because we are, right?
We try to be, you know. I mean, there's people out there that say they're a nudist and they're not, but they want to be protected as a nudist. So, you gotta, but no, we want to be sure that we can, you know, assemble at our resorts, in our homes, in our own backyards. And if we're law abiding citizens, if we're obeying all the rules, you know, we shouldn't be harassed. You know, that's kind of our belief in that. And, you know, I'm a strong believer in that. It's like, if I took the extra steps to pay an extra $2,000 or $3,000 to have a higher fence and have it privatized, and I'm in my backyard and I know nobody can see without climbing a ladder and looking over and going, oh, look, I'm offended. It's like, well, why did you climb the fence to do that? Which happens. Exactly. It happens. People, you know, they go to extreme lengths to see somebody naked, and then they say they're offended, and then they get mad and call the cops. It's like, well, the cops come by and say, well, how did you see them? Like, well, I climbed my ladder and looked over. I'm like, well, so yeah. But no, it's a great list that somebody came up with, and you know, we agree with those, you know, saying, you know, we want the ability to be nude when and where we want, but we'll do it with respect and cognizant of other people's, you know, feelings. And you know, we're not going to, like, say, go out and have a parade down the main street, that type of thing.
Right.
There is, of course, the World Naked Bike Ride, but those are organized. They're, you know, the each different one, you know, they let the police force know that they're going to do this, and it's considered a protest, and that's why it can be done. Is apparently nudity is a legal form of protest, and that's how they get away with it. But then they also tack that on to the against oil, big oil drilling, and all that type of thing, and that's where the body paints and, you know, less gas, more ass, you know, kind of a, that's been a body painted thing for ever since it started, basically. And okay. So people go out and protest that, and they'll ride electric scooters or ride their bicycles, you know, basically saying, hey, bicycling is a better way for the planet type of transportation. Yeah. So,
well, and they're probably right. Is that something AANR is affiliated with or something you sponsor? No,
that totally started, I believe, in England. I can't remember how many years ago that started in England. And then it came across the pond, as it were. And there's big naked bike rides. There's Portland. I think they have a naked bike ride almost weekly there. I remember we were up there for a family reunion at a restaurant, and we were just sitting there getting ready to sit down. All this passel of nude bike riders goes by, and we're just like, okay, that was interesting. And we had no idea what it was at the time. But, you know, the laws up in Portland, I believe, are different, you know, and of course, as they are in all parts of the country, you know, like in San Francisco, they have, I believe, a park there where you can sun in the park nude, you know. And of course, in Germany and all that, you can almost go down the street and they don't care. Because in Europe, where nudism basically got its start, they started the whole thing, and they, you know, they don't have the prudish nature that we got when we came to the United States, going back to the Puritans and all that time, where you see the pictures in the old days where the dresses and such go down to the floor and showing a piece of ankle. Oh my, that was scandalous, you know, stuff like that. Oh, yeah. So there's actually a cute picture of bathing suits going from like the 1800s on up, and how they just keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Might as well just end up nude
at that point. Yeah, it's with the spaghetti thin pieces of what they call a bathing suit. You know, it's more like a Band-Aid on a string, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Why waste the time putting it on, taking it off? Just do it the right way. I want to talk to you a little bit about legislation. You mentioned the last time we talked, and you mentioned it briefly during this interview, AANR is big into following legislation. You said there are people who actually every day log in to see what's the latest and greatest so they know what to do. And there's something going on in Wisconsin that could, like any law in any place, it could affect other places down the road. Can you just briefly give us a description of what in the world Wisconsin is doing with regard to nudism, naturism?
Well, that actually stemmed from a World Naked Bike Ride. Apparently, a family that brought their daughter, I don't know the age, 10, 11, 12, something like that, to the Naked Bike Ride. She'd been before as a kid, just, you know, riding with mom, but this is apparently the first time that she was riding on her own. A photo was taken from behind of her and the family on the bicycles, from what I understand. It got put on, I don't know, social media or where, I don't know where it went, but somebody saw it, got offended by it, and saying, how are they allowing kids? That's corrupting, you know, again, think of the children. That was the mantra behind that thing. And they got the police involved. They said that they need to be under arrest and this, that, and the other. And the police were like, they're not doing anything wrong. There's nothing illegal against what they're doing, because that's, you know, the case. And this person, I guess, said, well, that's just not good enough. So they went and contacted a lawmaker or whatever, and they said, well, we're going to make it against the law, that type of thing. And so that's where this whole thing came from. And so basically it's one incident where, you know, they're trying to save the children that didn't need saving. And so, you know, this has been an ongoing thing for months now. And so we have a lobbyist that is up in the area there that has, you know, that we hired. And so, you know, that those aren't cheap. You know, that's also what your ANR membership dollars go to, is to help, you know, do this. And so they are there. Telling us what's going on blow by blow, basically. They follow what's going on in the Senate and the legislature, and tell us, okay, here's what we need to do now. You know, because a lot of people were like, oh, okay, we need to blast all the senators up there and all the representatives up there with all this information about ANR, da 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 da. Not necessarily, you know. Sometimes, you know, as whoever it was said, it's better to get, you know, you get more results with a carrot than with a stick, kind of thing.
Right.
So we went with the carrot option of giving them the information and saying, let's target who we want to talk to, target the senators. Because apparently in the Wisconsin area, they in certain areas, they get real picky. It's like, if you're not from Wisconsin, we don't want to hear from you about our legislature, which I get. Wow. I understand that. So we actually contacted all our members and even some former members that were ANR members and said, here's what we would like you to do if you're willing to. And here's, you know, the talking points, and contact your local lawmaker and tell them that you're against this and what we'd like to see and if we could get changes or whatever. All the information that we gave them, and they basically would be in touch with them. And so our office called every single one of these people, you know, and that's, again, you know, that's a lot of time and effort, you know, taking away from what all they're doing regularly. And so, yeah, you know, they get in touch with them, they tell them, and then when something changes, or if, you know, the bill moves to a different committee, then they contact the people again. Okay, say, here's what we do next, that kind of thing. So we're doing the surgical strike, as it were, the surgical kind of approach of, okay, here's what we want to talk to, here's how we do it, and this is the best way. And so we try to tell people, don't just go blasting, you know, the emails and all that down there, because that's, you know, that makes it, that can actually make it worse. So, and that's what our executive director has talked about in all the meet and greet sessions online that people can go to. And he's happy to answer questions and give the latest. And also, you'll get information, you know, on in the newsletter about what's going on each month of what's gone on and where we are and how we stand.
OK. And the reason I'm reasonably sure you agree with this. The reason people need to pay attention, they're thinking, well, I don't live in Wisconsin, who cares? It's because they always go by case law, and they'll say in the middle of nowhere, well, there was a law passed in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to go with that. And then you try to sue and you really can't, because it's case law. It's already in place. So we need to pay attention everywhere, even if it's not our own backyard, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and the longer a case law has been in place, the more power it holds.
That's right.
About 90% of the time anyhow. Another fight going on in Florida right now, AANR Florida has their own lobbyist, and they've had him working on this night and day practically. And that one was kind of a massage bill. And I don't know the wording of the bill exactly, but it was like, they wanted to say, if you're in a massage parlor giving a massage and nudity or something is involved on either part, I don't know exactly the whole thing, because the bills are just these massive things and such. Yeah. And of course they change as they're in committees and changing and such. And so they wanted to basically, you know, they wanted to fine people like up to like 9 months in prison, in jail, and up to a $10,000 fine if they're, you know, I may be confusing the two different bills there, because I've been getting so much information. But
yeah,
ANR has, through efforts, gone in and talked with the legislators, and there's a bill in the Senate and the legislature, and sometimes they have that going at the same time, and that way if one version passes better, they will just say, okay, the other team will go with this one here though. And so we've been talking with both state legislator and senators, and saying, we would like you to put in an exclusion for affiliated American Association for Nude Recreation clubs. That way, if you have, because a lot of clubs will have a massage therapist there to give massages and such. And that way they can say, if you are an affiliated member of AANR, then you are excluded. And we actually have that in the bill now that has passed committees. Wow. And that is huge, because now American Association for Nude Recreation is going to be, once it's passed, in there. And you don't just go in and take it out. And that sets precedence for down the road for all kinds of things. That's huge, you know, to get that in and done. And that's another thing Eric has been, our executive director, has been working on. I mean, he and his son literally drove from Kissimmee to Tallahassee to testify in front of the legislators there and say, here's our information, here's who we are, and here's why we want this in here. And so,
okay.
Yeah, it's you know, there's a lot more going on behind the scenes if you're not familiar with ANR than what you might think. It's like, oh, I'm a member of ANR, I get my 20% discount. There is so much more going on that ANR does, and it's all the time.
Well, what's their issue with the massage bill? They don't want the therapist and or the client being nude, or what?
I think they want to consider it. It's an adult business type of thing. You know, it's, you know, because sometimes, you know, places say, oh, they're naked, so it's a sexual thing. It's not, you know, it's like, you know, there was a thing like if there's nudity, you know, there was a thing. I forget how long ago, but it was like they wanted to ban having nudity, or they wanted to label you as an adult oriented business, i.e. basically like a strip club type thing, if you had nudity and a bar in the same venue. It's like, well, there are nudist resorts that have a bar and people go in there and they're in the nude. So, you know, they wanted to label them as basically a sex club. It's like, but we're not. And yeah, so we fought tooth and nail on that, you know, and there's, you know, and that was, there's all kinds of stuff that just, like I say, goes on all the time that Anner is fighting for. And it's, you know, I certainly didn't know a lot of this until I became president. I just got my little newsletter and, you know, read things and was like, all right, we're having fun, you know, not a clue as to how much is actually going on. You know, I now get to basically, as they say, watch the meat being, or the sausage being made, you know, as it's, you know, going, all the stuff going through the grinder and, you know, how the sausage is made type of thing.
Yeah. And like anything else, if you don't do the legwork that you guys are doing, then the other side, you know, takes control and suddenly all your rights are gone. And people are saying, well, how'd that happen?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's because you didn't get involved.
Anner would not be here if it weren't for the work of all the government affairs people and all and our executive director and all the people that, you know, tell us what's going on and inform us of things, you know. You know, it's a huge, you know, job, and we can't do it without our members. You know, I mean, I'm totally promoting membership, you know, for anybody that wants to join AANR. I am, you know, I will tell you all day long how great it is and what they do, because like I say, you know, you just go to the website, you may not know necessarily what all we do. We try to put all the things that we do on there, you know, especially updates. What's where you can find updates to things, you know, if something happens. And we also have social media. We've got Facebook, Twitter, you know, all the things that we've got going on, which, you know, another one of the great things that we got going on this year that is brand spanking new, we have our Women in Nude Recreation Chair, Andy Rogers, which you had on not long ago talking about her travels across the Midwest with the Women in Nude Recreation and the I'm Perfect tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, you know, she just started. And so, you know, she's going from club to club. For those that haven't gone back and to listen to the episode, go do that now. We'll wait for you here. go back and listen to what she's been doing. And I mean, she's just been amazing at what she does on the Women in Nude Recreation. She's put out a calendar for the WOW calendar. For those of you that aren't familiar with that, there's the womeninnuderecreation.com. Go there. Check that out. They'll tell you all about that. And they're working on that calendar again for next year. So if you want to get involved in that, you know, get in touch there. That's, you know, there's so much going on. I had, like I say, I had no idea how much AANR did until I, you know, started getting a part of it. And it's just amazing.
Yeah,
it really is.
That's usually how it goes. Yeah. You learn the other 99% of what's going on behind the scenes.
Exactly. It's huge. It's great.
Yeah. Well, as the president of AANR, we're talking to Mitch London today. What does the hierarchy look like? You're the head honcho. You're the grand poobah or whatever. Does that mean the seven region presidents report to you? Do you direct them? Do you work collaboratively? And then how does the actual, because I know all of you folks are volunteers, but how does the paid staff figure into that? Do they take direction from you?
They take direction basically from the executive director, who they all work together in Florida at Kissimmee at the office. We have an office in Kissimmee, thanks to one of our former members who had the property and bequeathed it to AANR. And so we are lucky to be landlords, as it were, of our own property. But we have seven regions, and basically the president and the executive, we actually have a little chart in our ruling documents, a little flow chart like thing. Our seven region presidents also have a trustee for each region. So the trustees are basically elected positions that they come to all the meetings, the national meetings, the one in the midwinter and the summer meeting. And we have all outlets where we kind of, again, more of the meat grinding, as it were, the stuff that changes to the bylaws, ruling documents, stuff like that. And they bring the concerns of their region to us, you know, and then the presidents kind of rule down there. It's kind of like their little cluster here and then this cluster. And then the trustee is their representative to talk to us type of thing. But they can all come talk to us. We have, you know, we're happy to talk to all of our, everybody from the region presidents to the trustees to the members. You know, my AANR email is on the website that people can contact me if they're like, hey, I have a concern. You know, if they don't, you know, want to work their way up the little chain, as it were, you know, go from their club. If they have a concern at a club, you know, they can go to the club and talk. If they don't get the satisfaction there, they can go then to the, you know, the region. They can then go to the national organization, and then they can even go to our executive director. You know, he has taken many calls from people concerned about things, and people will even go into the office so and say, hey, I have a question, you know, or I have a concern.
Well, that's really nice. Now, the corporate world that I've worked in, it sounds like you're very similar. It's the you as the president and the board of directors. You kind of control the day, and you're the ones who hire the executive director. Is that correct?
Yeah, basically, it hasn't happened in since I've been a member that I know. Before I really got involved, there was a different executive director, and the board, you know, the office puts out, you know, we're looking for an executive director, and then the board gets the candidates, and they go through and pick the executive director. Yeah. But the board basically each year does a evaluation of the executive director and, you know, are they doing a good job? Are they completely failing? Are they doing amazing? They figure that out, and then they can kind of judge whether they want to give them a raise, get them fired, whatever they do. I don't know. That's kind of how that part works. Yeah, it's very pretty typical. You know, we have some aspects that are a little awkward, but fairly standard.
Yeah, the nice thing about what you guys do, I've worked with too many boards to count. I've been on boards too many to count. Is let's say it's an automotive company. So you have people on the board. You might have some who don't know a darn thing about cars, but by golly, they're going to be on the board because they want the power. The difference, I'm guessing, with AANR is everybody on the board is a nudist, naturist, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, we have, you know, there are a couple people on staff at the office that are not, but that's usually our newsletter editor, you know, because her degree is in journalism / graphic design and things like that. You know, they may not necessarily be a nudist. Right. But, you know, we're working on that.
That's right.
You know, but, you know, we feel if you've, you know, everybody that's a trustee is a nudist. You know, everybody that's a president is a nudist. You know, that gives us a vested interest in our organization. So, you know, if you're an outsider, you know, lobbyists, you know, they may not necessarily be a nudist, but, you know, who knows? They might down the road. But, you know, I think that, you know, if you're going to have a more stake in the game, as it were, if you are actually part of the team of the organization, you know?
Yeah, that's it. And it's not as though somebody is a fully textiled person one day becomes a nudist the next day, and by golly, there's a president.
Right.
You have, you know, many steps and levels. You know, you volunteer for this, volunteer for that, get elected to this.
That's how I got here. I tell you what, I started out as just a regular old member, you know, me and my local club. I went to a convention because the regional convention, because that was near where I lived. And I'm like, yeah, I'll go there. And then they got their claws onto me and I joined the region board for a while. And then I was president for that for two terms. And then after that, I came president of the national organization. So it's all a group of people that in one way or the other want the best for ANR, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, nobody's on the board that's like, I'm here to bring this place down. No, we're here to bring this place up. Right. You know, we want it the best we can be. We want as many members as we can get. We want as many clubs as we can get. The more the merrier, basically.
Yeah, and that's the best kind of board to have. And most boards are not like that. They have people who have hidden agendas, which eventually become out in the open, and then everybody's fighting. And well, here, you're all working for the same cause, which makes a whole lot more sense. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
The you know, I wanted to mention briefly, we're going to do another interview in a few months with you, Mitch London, the president of AANR, all about you cooking. But not only cooking, you cook in the nude, right? You have your own show, your own video show. Maybe just give us a moment about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I started that basically. I was just the lowly activities coordinator for our local club, Hill Country Nudists, here in Austin. And when the pandemic hit, you know, we were a travel club, so we didn't have facilities. So we did house parties. We did excursions to a club. We did boat you know, excursions, whatever we did. But during the pandemic, it was done, you know. So I started out by doing like a lot of people did. They did these Zoom meetings and we tried to play games on Zoom and it was just awkward and weird. Of course, now it's a whole lot easier for that kind of thing. But, you know, there was just not much anything out there. So I just kind of took it upon myself because, you know, we have potluck dinners all the time. So I basically would cook something up and take it. And people say, ooh, that's neat. Where'd you get that? Where's the recipe? This, that, and the other. And so I kind of took all that information and said, well, I could just make a cooking show. I've always been a fan of cooking. I've watched cooking shows going way back. And so I enjoy doing that. And I turned that into a show basically called This Dude Cooks in the Nude. I don't know. It wasn't the best, you know, title. It kind of is long, but, you know, it rhymes. It's got some stuff like that. And so, but, you know, it's just something fun. And it started out as a simple little, you know, 10-minute, let's see if I can do this, make a sandwich. And then I kind of got a little bit more into it. And as you know, probably it's like the more you do it, the more, a little bit better equipment here, a little bit better microphone, a little bit better camera, that kind of thing. Yeah. So it kind of grows and grows and grows. And so now I've been doing that for, gosh, almost, well, actually February, about, you know, obviously the pandemic kind of started in February of 2020. So, gosh, this is almost the 3-year anniversary. Holy cow.
Wow.
You know, great. So, and I've almost 100 shows now. So I got to figure out what I'm going to do for my 100th, where Anner has to figure out what it's going to do for its 100th. But their 100 is a lot bigger than my 100. So
I think I've seen just about every episode. The problem with your shows, though, Mitch, is I end up being hungry by the end of the show.
Yeah.
I have to go to my own kitchen, you know.
I've discovered some amazing recipes on there because I do a thing called flag. Well, I can talk about this at the next show. It gives people a little teaser, but I basically pick a country and then try to find out about that country's national dish. And then I try to create that.
Yeah.
And sometimes
it's
difficult. I did one from South Africa and I discovered two things. One, there are some amazing ingredients in South African cooking. And two, I discovered our city has 3 African grocery stores. I had no idea.
Wow.
But I had to go to all 3 to get all the different ingredients because they all had a little bit of this. So I had to go here. I had to get some fish from this one. I had to get some of this from here. So yeah, it's amazing the stuff I found out about while doing the show.
Yeah. Well, you do great work with that. And we thank you for being with us today. The president of the American Association for Nude Recreation, Mitch London. The dude, is it called This Dude Cooks in the Nude?
This Dude Cooks in the Nude. Because the Naked Chef, Jamie Oliver had already taken the Naked Chef, or the, you know, so I couldn't use that one. I was going to still call it The Real Naked Chef, but.
Yeah, well, yeah. But you get everything in the title. You're nude, you're a dude, and you cook.
Exactly.
So why not throw it all in? You know, what the heck? Well, it's been great to talk to you. Great information on AANR, and people just go to AANR.com and they can find out more information.
Absolutely. That's the best way. Go there and check it out. Call the office, send an email, send me an email. You know, if you have questions, let us know. We want to know.
All right. Well, thank you again, Mitch London, president of AANR. Go out there and have a great close-free day, as I know you will, weather permitting, but inside if not, and we will talk again down the road. Thank you very much.
Sounds good, Frank. Thank you.
Thank you. The very terrific Mitch London, current president of AANR, American Association for Nude Recreation. And if you've seen the buzz on Twitter and other social media feeds, he is not running for a second term. And AANR will definitely miss his leadership and his input and his vision. And perhaps he'll get involved again a little bit down the road. And don't forget, we'll have Mitch London on again a little later in this coming summer to discuss his video show, This Dude Cooks in the Nude. So we're looking forward to that as well. Well, we hope you've enjoyed this last hour of Closed Free Living for all of the right reasons. We enjoy bringing it to you. We enjoy spending this time with you every Saturday morning, 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. The only thing that we ask in return, please like, review, subscribe, especially on Apple Podcasts and YouTube. You will be helping us out tremendously in the field of podcasting around the world. And we thank you in advance very much for like, review, subscribe. Well, thank you for being with us on Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 43 today. We give you a brand new show every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Continue to join us. Check us out on our website, nakednudistandnaturist.com, Spotify, Google, Amazon/Audible, Apple Podcasts, And also on Twitter, you can write us anywhere, anytime, anyplace. And we thank you for being with us today. Plan to join us for every single one of our shows here and have your clothes off when you're listening. We have our clothes off when we're broadcasting, enjoying the naturist life.
We celebrate clothes-free living for all. Remember to enjoy being naked and join us again for Naked Nudist and Naturist.
We drop a brand new show every Saturday morning, so come back and join us. Have your clothes off when you do for Naked Nudist and Naturist. Have a great clothes-free day.